Okay, let's be honest. I know we have some closet singing in the shower people here. We have some here. And my oldest daughter's here for my public confession. When I was a young man, I sang a lot in the shower. I worked in a factory, so I had the headphones on and I'm singing away. And all of a sudden, everybody's staring at me. I found out that all the machines went down because of power outage. So they were hearing me. Usually the machines masked my singing. And it wasn't until my eldest was singing in the shower many years later that I realized my parents heard me too. And I sang all these love songs, my almost girlfriends and all this. So it's just really embarrassing. But some of us are just, we're just closet. You kind of figure out what that cat's doing that you're all staring at. In the lower right there, the cat's singing in the shower. But we just love to sing. And if you don't like singing in the shower, who likes singing in the car? Okay, a few of us like singing in the car. Yeah, you just sing away, man. You just love singing. Now, as a young Christian, I hated Christian singing because Christian songs are really stupid. Give me Led Zeppelin or Black Sabbath any day. But they're just really dumb songs, you know. And now we got some really cool songs I can even drum to. I bring back the 70s drumming, if you notice. And I tried out some 90s. But the point is, singing is a very major part of praise. And it's fascinating that you go to funerals of an atheist and they don't sing, because they have nothing to sing about. Okay, but Christians just love to sing. Even Jewish people love to sing. They just, because singing is so much embedded in their nature and their essence, and they want to be singing and shouting. And when you get so connected to what's going on in your life, you're no longer a closet singer or shower singer or car singer. You want to sing with other people too. And what's really fun for me is I slide. So if I have a bass standing next to me, I sing bass. If I have a baritone, sing bass. And the sopranos are funner. I slide all the way to soprano, you know. But I can't hold notes. So, and I've been recruited for decades now almost to go to the barbershop quartet singing. And I say, I can't hold my note because I'm always sliding. we'll help. No, you can't help me because it just does this thing, you know. But we want to sing. And some of us don't like singing. I confess I know this because you've told me. And I'm not going to point you out at anybody. But I do know that singing is a part of praise. And we teach her a lifestyle of praise. And in the psalm we're looking at this morning, it does give you a hook off. Get off the hook, rather. You don't have to be singing. But it is good to praise the Lord. Can you say that with me? Yeah, the word good is real simple. It's tov, means good. It is good. And the word for praise here is a different word than I told you earlier, right? I said we have hallelujah, we have baruch, and we have this word yada. And this is the word for hand. And it's also this. Who speaks this? Anybody? You speak this. I know you're not even looking. Yeah. Okay, what does that mean? Yeah, sign language for? Thank you. Yeah. And so yada is the idea of hands. And it's interesting of raising your hands. Makes us nervous. There's the old joke, make a Baptist happy, make them nervous. Okay. You know, but you put one hand up for happy and two, this is for the recording, and two hands up for nervous. But the idea is that you're raising your hands and you're with gratitude and thanksgiving. And you're proclaiming this just beautiful, exciting thing the Lord's just done for you. You're saying it out loud. Now, if you didn't know this, there's a technique for raising your hands. Okay. Now, the one way is this way, and this means what? My hands faced, my palms out. I surrender, yeah. And then your hands together like this means? Yeah, fill me up or, you know, whatever. I don't know what these mean. But people want to add stuff. It's just get your hands up. Football, we did it earlier. We were disc golfing yesterday, and we were cheering the kids on disc golfing, and the parents were doing the wave. Well, it's the same idea. Get your hand. Remember we did it in church 20 years back? Yeah, I made everybody nervous. They left. But you can do it at a football stadium, but not a church. Oh, no, because you can't get excited about Jesus like that. You've got to be real solemn and subtle. Yeah, we hand out lemons at the door so you can come in with a sour look on your face. So we want to encourage you through Psalm 92, and we're going to look at that very briefly here this morning. Again, just a little devotion, give you a lot of time here to open up in praise and thanksgiving. But the first thing is I can't get around it. It says making music right there. Did you see verse 1 there? It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. And that means the Most High of highs. Now, I know that our Muslim friends think that their God's higher, but our God's higher because our God made their God. But here it says this, okay? Make music. And what kind of music? Anybody got an idea? Any kind of music, exactly. Now, in the New Testament, it talks about spiritual songs, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms are obviously the psalms. Hymns are songs we take from the Bible, and spiritual songs are really cool. And as I've studied this over the years, it comes, you just get this song, and you're the only one singing, and it's between you and the Lord, and it goes away. And I've captured a couple ones the Lord's given me. One's my theme song called The Minstrel, and I'm talking fast, aren't I? Slow me down. But there's just songs you just get, and you just start bursting out with thanksgiving and praise. That's a spiritual song. Hymns are any other kind of song. They're not just the classic songs, or what we call classic praise, like the doxology and others from the 1700s, 1800s, or 800s or 900s, Bernard Clairvaux. But just songs, any songs. And psalms were actually psalms. And some churches believe you can only sing psalms. Did you know that? You're only allowed to sing psalms, nothing else. Well, I'm sure glad that the Bible gives us a little more freedom than that. But you're to make music. Now, keep a bookmarker here. We'll be back. I want to go to James 5:13, let you see this for yourselves. We'll be back in Psalm 92. But leap all the way to the New Testament. Find the book of James, which is a little bit toward the end of it. Not too far toward the back. But after the book of Hebrews. And before, Peter. We're going to look at 5 verse 13. It's real fascinating. It's in the New Testament now, if you think it's an Old Testament thingy. And verse 13 says, is anyone in trouble? Is any one of you in trouble? Anybody? And the word for trouble could be suffering. And what are they supposed to do? Pray. Pray. Is anybody happy? And yes, the word happy does appear in the Bible. I hate that, but it's there. Okay, anybody happy? What are you supposed to do? And you say, bummer. Yeah, because you don't want to sing. Even though you're happy, you just okay, yeah, I'm happy. Thanks for, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then note what's next. Verse 14. Is anyone sick? Call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Pray over them in faith. We'll make them better. The Lord will raise them up. If anybody sins, those sins will be forgiven. And he goes on to talk about confessing your sins. But I like this fasting thing. Just real simple. He's just giving us a list of things that can encourage the believers in his day and age. And he says, if you're in trouble, you pray. If you're happy, you sing. And we sing about a lot of stuff. Now, I confess I don't know many of the new modern songs, okay? I catch them every once in a while. Christian modern songs I know really well, but the secular I don't know too well. And then once in a while I catch a song, and I accidentally, what's that country song called? No. I accidentally catch the country tunes. Oh, they got some really good words. And they're sounding like 50s now. Did you notice this? Their beats now like the 50s. Anybody agreeing with me on that? Nobody's agreeing with me on that? No? Oh, man, their tunes are 50 style now. It's like, and what's really funny is the rednecks used to be against the long hairs. Now the country guys have long hair. I thought that was real funny, too. So anyway, we're coming back to this, though. All right, so you've got making music. And there, go back to Psalm 92 again. So hope you had a bookmarker there and you can find it rapidly. Or if you're swishing, good luck on your swishing. I had a paperclip, didn't even work. So, it is good to praise the Lord. And how do you do this? To proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. So the word proclaim, you know what that means? Say it, yeah. Who remembers Haggadah? What are those? No, Haggadah. That's the things we use when we do the Passover. This is the word to tell. It's the same word. The Haggadah is to tell. Okay? This means to tell. It's real simple. Just tell it. So it's okay not to sing. Okay? So it's okay not to sing in this verse here. What are you to proclaim? What did it say there? His love, loving kindness. Excellent. This is the word chesed. It's the covenant love that the Lord has for you. It doesn't change. He made a covenant with you, and all you did was sign up by the blood of Jesus, and you're in. And it never changes. And you proclaim his love when? In the morning. In this text here, in the morning. You start your day off. Woohoo! I'm alive! Yes. And at night, what do you proclaim? His faithfulness. He got you through the day. He got you through the day. And you can thank him for that. You know that near miss on the road there? How many times I was coming out of the bank a couple weeks ago in Patterson there, and is it 32 road or whatever? And I started to come out, and I just had this, I was going to gun it. And something happened where I just had this hesitation, and here shoots his bike. And I'd hit him. He'd have broke my windshield and everything. Oh, I hit him too. You know, it hit him. You know, knocked him all over. And then I was ready to gun it again, and I couldn't do it. And here comes a skateboarder right behind him. And, well, thank you, Lord. I'm not in jail right now. You know, because those, you know, who knows what would have happened. But they're alive, and I'm okay. Okay, so the Lord's faithfulness, and that's just something that's not as dramatic as something else maybe you're going through. But, again, you can thank him in the evening for his faithfulness, and it's not just yourself to him. It's to others. Tell. It's the idea of telling others how great he is and what he's done. For example, who he is. He's faithful. He's just. And what he's done for you. His character and his actions, if you will. And these are two components. And it's okay to thank the Lord for what he's done for you. I know we talk a lot about when you can't see his hand, trust his heart, you know, and we all look for sugar daddy God, you know, to gimme, 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 gimme. But sometimes he does some stuff for us, and that's okay. Right? It's okay to thank him for that. He's a great God. Okay. It is good to praise the Lord using music. That's verse 3. To make music on the 10-string lyre and melody on the harp. A lyre is the kind of what we call a guitar today, and the harp is a harp. But you can use musical instruments. It's okay. So use all your resources. Here's a theological question. If a Christian writes a song that has no words, is it a Christian song? Why? Okay, what'd you say? Okay. Yes. Yeah, excellent. So not all songs have to have, you know, smile, God loves you, or you must be born again. It's okay to write instrumental music. Remember the W's, the big band kind of style music, and there's even hip-hop Christian music. Did you know that? You know, but there's all kinds of music. Now, when I used to be young in the church, they didn't allow the contemporary music you have guys have today, and so I tried to explain to people that our agricultural music or the strings like Bach and Beethoven, that was majestic and showed the majesty of God, but rock and roll showed the power of God. Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, so you need all kinds of music, okay? And so there's all different styles. And yes, there's room for country music in my scheme. And or whatever kind of music you may not like, it's okay. But all music can praise the Lord. It doesn't matter the style. Yes, even a noise. Oh, in my sabbatical, did I tell you guys this one? Remember I said, rise above the noise? Well, the cicadas were just so loud, they were deafening. And I went a little higher up, and they were still in the trees below, and it got real quiet. It was just 20 feet. It was amazing. And I asked the Lord, okay, are they scraping something like crickets, or are they actually using breath? Because everything that breath praises you, so do they praise you or not? Right? Real heavy theological discussion here. I don't know. Who knows? You know, do cicadas do the scraping like the crickets do, or do they actually? It's their wings. Okay, so they're moving air. Air is breath. But you get, that's a rabbi talking, obviously. But you get what I'm saying. Everything in creation can use the praise of even the noise of our lives. But we rise above the noise. That's a whole other message series I'll work on for next year. And notice your whole being. The scripture says, off your bodies is a living sacrifice. Okay? Now, there's some people who we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I know some people are very sedate. Okay? And you're remember, I showed you those pictures at a concert. There's people like this. Right? And then there's the mosh pit. Remember the cats? Yeah, the cats, yeah. Okay, so but it's okay to praise the Lord with your body is my point. I can't jump because my hip, but anyway, woohoo, yeah. That's okay. I'm not getting any nods and no amens. Okay, we're moving on here. So, that's right, yes, exactly, you know, and that's just cool. Okay, we want to, whoops, somebody just texted me. I'm in the middle of service. Jesus points. All points point to Jesus. If you try to live the life in your own strength, you're going to fail because Jesus is the point, the power to live the point. And we're going to build families around here. It's real simple, but have regular times to share thanks, especially around Thanksgiving. And I've known some families to do this before they go to bed, actually. They'll ask, what was good today? So as they're putting the kids to bed, they kind of read a Bible story to them or a little book. They get everybody to calm down. They say, what happened good today? And then they go to good night, boom. But it's good to do that. And it's getting the habit of doing that. For years, my mother would always say this up until I was 26 years old. I have a vivid, unfortunately, vivid memory, not to dishonor my mother too much here. But I'm at my aunt's house, and my aunt did something for me, okay? We were married. Yeah, we were already married, weren't we? I thought we were, you were there. Any rate, she says, ready?
What do you say?
Come on, 26 years old, I know what to say. Right? So, how did I say thank you? Tell me. Yeah, with a little attitude. Oh, yeah. Thank you. And that's sometimes what happens with people. But you know, the more you say thank you get over that. But there's times we feel forced into it, and it's really not an attitude of gratitude. It's, all right, I have to do this, I'll say thank you. But when you teach the children younger that whatever they have is from the Lord, and they should be grateful for it, and it's so cool when kids are praying, right? When was it Corbin? Thank you for this, thank you for that, you know, the grass. Yeah. Yes. Yes. You know, and that's such the innocent childlike prayer that they really be thankful for everything. And when you get your kids doing it, then guess what happens to you? Yeah, you become infected with thankfulness. Horrible. I've got thankfulness. Oh, no. Okay. So regular times at home is really good, and it's good to start young. We didn't do this too much, did we? We didn't do this. So I'm encouraging. I got my two of my three daughters here. They can tell me what I did or didn't do because I have no memory. But did we do something like this regularly or no? I don't remember doing it, so. So my point is, do what I didn't do, you know, because I want to help you guys catch up with that. Okay, Jesus' point, when we're pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ, say this with me, please. Don't be afraid to sing. One more time, you need to hear it. Don't be afraid to sing. Now, when I first started in that Christian stuff, you know, and I remember, when I got saved, I was planning to kill myself, and I decided not to cross the street instead. And I went to this Christian Campus Crusade for Christ meeting, and I walk in, and I waited outside till they were done singing their stupid songs. Okay, this is a fact, all right? And I snuck in back, and I had my blue jean jacket on, which became my Jesus Freak jacket, and I was sitting in back, and the guy was talking about, are you living or existing? And that really got to me. So, Lord, I don't know if I'm a Christian. I'm going to make myself a Christian tonight. So I became a Jesus Freak after that. But my point was, though, is that I started going to these meetings regularly a little earlier and earlier, and I know the songs, you know, we're kind of valleys, mountains high, valleys low, and you know, and all this. I can't remember half the songs; they're so dopey. But the songs we have today are so much better. And not that the Maranatha early singers weren't bad, or the Shenandoah singers, or the guys back then, they had their hearts in the songs. But the modern music is really keeping up with the hearts of people, and we've got such a variety of music, plus 18 centuries, 20 centuries, of pick from. That we just have such an encore not to be afraid to sing music. And a lot of us will get used to it and get over it. Okay? Is that me or you? That's you. Is that me? Okay? So don't be afraid to start singing. Jesus point number two. Don't be afraid to share. In a few moments, like I said, after the table, we're going to have an opportunity. Is that you? Anybody we know? Usually the Lord calls her, not me, so. Yes. Yeah. Can you hear me now? We're going to have an opportunity to share. And I know when you add new people in, the dynamics changes. But there are people here who really need to hear what you have to share. Just remember that. That you have something that, wow, the Lord did this, you know. And I'm really praising Him for that. I'm really thankful for it. Or in our last series, you could pick something like this. Well, I didn't know I was one of these up here, a resourceful person or see this. Wow, the Lord really showed me something in that. But whatever it is, don't be afraid to share. Whatever is in your heart. Years past, they used to limit people to the last sermon series. That didn't go over well. So whatever's on your heart to share, do that. Do remember to keep it brief, though, because we have a lot of people that want to share at that. And I'm giving you all the things before the holy moment, so it's a lot easier to do that. And lastly, I want to ask you a simple question. Does not your heart sing forth praise when you ponder and finally grasp, if we say finally grasp, what Jesus has done for us? It should, every time we come to this table, it should overwhelm you, what He did for us. And there's this really cool saying, Anonymous said it. I asked Jesus how much you love me, and He said this much. Then He stretched out His arms and died. Now, as far as the east is from the west, this symbolism of His death, and He didn't hold back. And that's something, as an athlete, you were taught to leave it all on the field. And Jesus left it all on the cross. He did it all for us. And He didn't have to. He was not forced to. His love didn't even compel Him, per se. His love motivated Him, for sure. But did it because He wanted to. He wanted to save you and me from a nasty fate that we often ignore. Now, my life is not perfect, but it's way better than it would have been not knowing Jesus. I shared in Sundays, I don't know why I keep sharing this. I tried to kill myself twice, not once, and I failed both times. I planned five. Because just the other day, I was so thankful to be alive. My grandkids are here. I didn't expect that. I expected to be dead before 30. The Lord kept me out of Vietnam, and I know what would have happened there. I'd have been crazy. I'd have loved to kill people because I hated people. And somehow I have a love for people now I cannot explain. And I cannot explain why I turned the car before going over the edge. I cannot explain why I got off the bridge and ran off. I can't explain why I chose to, and just two friends, not friends, but two people I didn't know them, just killed themselves last week. I can't explain that. But I can tell you, you have a pause before the decision. I can't tell you that. And I can't tell you the right decision is to stay alive. That's the right decision, right? And you look at all the wonderful things you have, and you go, Lord, you've blessed me so much. You've blessed me so much. And this is because he loves us. The bread reminds us of the body that he gave for us, that we don't have to pay an eternity of death. He paid it all. The blood reminds us that he cleansed us from all unrighteousness. We're done. We're clean. That's the hope we have in this table. He has given us a hope and a future. And I've been in that black vortex. And now I have a hope. And I cannot explain it to you. But I pray that somehow the Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, tells you today, there's hope. There's hope. There's a better future for you. Don't give up on him. And don't give up on yourself. Because he loves you. I've asked a few men to help me serve this. As we serve this, I will serve the bread first. If you know Jesus, and you feel free, parents with children, if you think they're old enough to take that, then I leave it up to you. But the bread is the body of Jesus, and we'll do that first. And then afterwards we'll do the cup. And we'll take the bread all together, and then we'll take the cup all together. Okay, so gentlemen, if you'll come forward, please. Oh, Father, we bless you for this moment. I thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be in this wonderful fellowship. I'm encouraging, as it was many testified this morning, shared their stories of how they're encouraged by this body here you call Valley Bible. I bless you for that, Jesus. I thank you for the courage you gave everyone to share this morning and to give you the honor. Oh, bless you, Jesus, for that. Father, I'm going to preempt and pray for the pizzas, too, at this point. Heavenly Father, thank you for the pizzas that are coming. We bless you for the strength it provides us as we fellowship around the table and encourage one another and spur one another on to love and good deeds, all the more as we see that day approaching and we're getting excited about decorating for Christmas. And we pray this because Jesus lives, and everybody said,